Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. You're listening to a new Redefining Security podcast. Have you ever thought that we are selling cybersecurity insincerely, buying it indiscriminately, and deploying it ineffectively? Perhaps we are. So let's look at how we can organize a successful InfoSec program that integrates people, process, technology, and culture to drive growth and protect business value. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. HITRUST is a leading data protection standards development and certification organization that strives to safeguard sensitive information and manage information risk for global organizations across all industries and throughout the third-party supply chain. Learn more at HITRUSTAlliance.net.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at Imperva.com.
Hello, everybody. You're very welcome to a new Redefining Security episode here on ITSB Magazine. This is Sean Martin, and we're all about redefining security, obviously, and operationalizing the role up and down the stack from practitioner to executive. And I'm thrilled to have a great guest on with me today. We're going to be looking at how to successfully interview CISO, and I have Anshu Gupta on. He's a CISO investor and advisor, and put a piece together on this topic, which I found extremely interesting. We're going to dig into it. Anshu, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Sean. It's a pleasure to be in this podcast and look forward to the conversation today.
Yeah, and I suspect we're going to highlight some things that maybe some organizations and individuals may not have thought about, and perhaps even might prompt some conversation online with other ideas that folks may have or questions about the things we talk about today. Before we get into that, though, a quick word from you on who is Anshu? What have you been up to? What led you to your current role?
Yeah, so at a very high level, I started my career in security consulting at Ernst & Young and KPMG. I did a lot of Fortune 500, worked at Microsoft, Salesforce, Yahoo, Oracle. And then I took the startup route based on advice from my mentors. And I was very lucky. My first startup, Coupa, they went on to do an IPO. Then I built the security program at HelloSign from scratch. I was the 45th employee. They got acquired by Dropbox. And very recently, I was at Varo Bank, where I helped them get FDIC and OCC charter. And very recently with Fast, where I was the 20th employee, and I helped them get PCI level 1 compliant under a year. And I'm also part of a group called Silicon Valley CISO Investors, group of global CISOs who came together to provide advisory and investments to early stage cybersecurity companies. So we have been very fortunate to invest in some really good companies.
And perfect. And so, yeah, I was looking at your profile on LinkedIn, and a lot of different experiences, as you noted, from the big four firms into some startups. And you put together a document that, and perhaps we'll figure out a way to share this with folks if you're comfortable with that, for how to interview a CISO candidate. And what was the catalyst behind this? It was a little surprising to find that this was something that needed to be discussed or addressed. So what was the point of putting this together?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think basically it came out of a little bit, like when I was being interviewed in my career as a CISO, I found people were not asking the right questions, and the whole process was fairly ad hoc and haphazard. And I was like, hey, you know, I don't think that these guys are asking the right questions. And they sometimes they're not involving the right people as well. And that was the genesis of this article where I say, hey, if you're going to do this, this is how you do it well. Because as CISOs, we know the different domains in security, how we engage cross-functionally with different stakeholders. And many times in interviews, those stakeholders won't be even called for. So for example, a CISO would interact with legal, with HR, with product team, with engineering, and even with sales, if there is a security sales enablement function to it. So both this kind of, it was the genesis of this idea that I need to put something together to give folks an idea of how to do it well.
And so clearly, many within an organization should understand what we're going to talk about here. But who's the primary target for that? Clearly, it's not the CISO candidate, unless maybe they need to be prepared for these questions now that the organizations are going to start to ask them. But is it HR? Is it the executive suite? Is it the board? Who's going to define who's involved and what questions the company should ask?
I think, honestly, I feel that any stakeholder which has a say in this process needs to know about this. Because security these days is a very, very cross-functional. It's not a siloed role anymore. And any company, they should basically make sure that they're hiring the right candidate and evaluating on the right parameters. Are they asking the right questions to be able to hire the right person? And I think one thing I feel is that a lot of prep which needs to be done for hiring CISOs is actually not done. And this literally starts with asking why. Like, why are we hiring a CISO? Like, did the board say hire a CISO? Or there was a breach and say, hey, we don't have someone leading security, let's hire a CISO. So it's very, very crucial for companies to identify their why. And also, like, why a CISO? Why not an application security manager? Why not just a security engineer, the first security engineer? Why a CISO? And also mapping it to the stage of the company is it like, are we early stage? Are we growth stage? Are we mature? We have a lot of funding. We can support a CISO and the team. So identifying the why is very crucial. And I feel like, honestly, it's not done, that people will put a job description, hire someone, and then they set themselves and the person who got hired for failure because the why was never really clearly defined. Like, why are we trying to hire a CISO?
And that's an interesting point because I guess if they hadn't taken the role seriously in the first place, what is the driver now, right? Or maybe it's not that they didn't take it seriously. Maybe they just didn't understand or recognize or find the need to have one yet. And you mentioned a breach. So does hiring a CISO post-breach look different than hiring a CISO where perhaps it's a new company starting a new line of business, perhaps even creating a new market and new products? Do those look different in terms of interview process?
Yeah. So typically what I've seen is that either a mature security leader gets hired if the previous executives have suffered a breach in their previous companies or had some major security incident, and they're aware of the need of building security early on and not patch on security. That's what I've seen. When otherwise, and most of the times what happens is something happens. So the driver is not coming from risk management early on. Is that, hey, we are trying to go public. We need to hire a CISO. Hey, we are trying to raise venture capital and we need to have someone for security. Hey, we are trying to go upmarket. And that's why our customers are asking for it. But many times it's not very organic. The way we say, hey, security is a risk management function. Just we are hiring QA people. What's our security strategy look like? And I think the overall, I still feel there's a lot of maturity that needs to happen in that space where security is treated properly as a function and maturity around building security teams is well defined and operationalized, where everyone knows that, hey, you know, if you're building an engineering team, these are the typical roles you hire. But that level of maturity doesn't exist, and people will hire a single security leader and will not provide him the resources and the staff to execute on the vision and the function.
Yeah, and I want to stick for another moment with the why, and then we'll get into how best to tackle achieving that why or meeting the objectives of that why. But you mentioned sales, and I think this is an interesting one because we often on this channel talk a lot about the business of security and the value of security to the business. And one clear mark there that we can point to is sales. It's become a differentiator, right? A checkbox, not just for compliance, but to help the product sell to companies who also care about managing risk and having high level security posture. So we see things like HIPAA, HITRUST, SOC 2, PCI, and the sharing of that information, the scope and the completion of the certification, if you will, with business partners to one, demonstrate that some action has taken place and that, quote unquote, they care about security. Do you see a lot of CISOs being hired specifically for that task? So in order to do this deal, we need to become SOC 2 compliant, and therefore we need somebody to lead that charge. Now is the time to get a CISO.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I've seen it happen a lot where a CISO would get hired and they would realize that, hey, there was not an opportunity to build a team, but what the company really wants is what we would call it like a checklist CISO, that, hey, we hired someone whose job primarily is answering vendor security questionnaires and sitting on sales call, in which a majority of the time that's what they're doing. And really, there's no focus on operational security. So yeah, unfortunately, that happens a lot. But in an ideal function, it should be a subset, because customers or your partners, they have a genuine stake in your security, and they want to be assured that, are you going to be good custodians of my data? And a CISO's job could be providing that assurance, apart from regulatory reports like having a SOC 2 and PCI and other attestations and certifications. You sometimes just need to hear from a person and explain sometimes if there are any nuances to your product and service offering. But it should not be taking 40-50% of your time where you're doing sales enablement like half of your work hours.
Yeah, I love it. And so I'm just for another moment, I'm going to stay high level here, because I want to talk about the culture of the process and the the theme of the process and the culture of the organization, perhaps a better way to look at it. Because many times we look at the interview process as the opportunity for a candidate to be hired. And therefore, it's the company grilling the candidate to make sure they can do what they're expected to do and can fit into the company's culture. But it's a two-way street. The reverse is the same. And so I'm wondering, at a high level, in the questions that you put together, does it address both of those angles? One, are they asking the right questions to find the right fit for the candidate in the company, and also for the candidate to, and maybe this is questions the candidate should be asking, but for the candidate to understand that the company actually understands the role, values the role, and will ensure that they're set up to succeed in the role?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are two angles to it. One is that from a prep perspective, I still feel there's a why component, why are we hiring? And there is just the tactical work of putting together a good interview panel where all the stakeholders are invited. And there's some nuances to, in the sense that many times there might be a security champion who might not be, like, say, like a department head, but this person has been driving most of the security work, and the company need to make sure that they're giving this person the voice, because they know what's needs to be done. They are the ones who've been driving security, and so there's some nuances to it. Also, one thing I've always seen is that from a planning perspective, there are things like, hey, how many resources we are planning to hire? What kind of budget are we looking at? So enablement of the CISO starts way before you hire a person or before you interview a person. Second thing I would say that even from a job description perspective, I see a lot of cookie cutter job descriptions. People don't do a good job at selling the company. Like, why are we unique? And why are we hiring this position? And how are we going to enable this person? Second, and I can tell you that there's some so many red flags, even like when CISOs are looking for job opportunities. I was looking at a recently at a role, and it had, hey, we are looking at a super hands-on CISO. So hands-on was not good enough. They put like an adjective at top of it, super hands-on. So that makes me wonder, like, hey, you know, maybe you should be looking at hiring your first security engineer. Maybe you should be looking at hiring your first information security manager, or maybe a director of security engineering. If you're writing in your job description super hands-on CISO, I don't think you're hiring at the right level. And you're setting yourself for failure, and the candidate who, you know, if they take the role as well.
Interesting. So perhaps the CISO role isn't what they're ready for. That's not what they need at the moment.
Yes, yes. And second angle to it is defining the hiring criteria. So before you go to the interview stage, the companies need to do due diligence in terms of whom are we trying to hire? What kind of domain expertise are we looking? Do they need to have SaaS experience? Do they need to have cloud experience? Do we want, if it's a customer-facing role, how much time do we want this person to spend on operational security versus external customer-facing sales enablement? So if a company has done this a great job at due diligence before the hiring starts, and even many times the stakeholders are not well educated in security. Like, so once you have put together a panel, it's very, very crucial to do a kickoff call where you explain, hey, these are the expectations. These are the things what we are looking for in this person. And it's not a, just there are technical skills element to it. There's a, hey, you know, this person should be able to do the job that we are trying to hire him for. And there's a culture component. Hey, what our values are, how are we evaluating this candidate on our own culture, how we operate, are we a remote first company, are there any specific things that we really look from a collaboration perspective. And it's like literally like in security terms, you know, we do incident management and we say, hey, 90% of incident management is prep. That have we trained people? Have we done all the work before an incident happens? And I think security hiring is a lot like that way, that you need to do a very good job at prep before the actual interview happens.
Yeah, very good. And so let's dig into it now. I know I did a lot of stage setting here, but that was purposeful, because I think there's a lot in that goes into why you're doing this, and that involves a lot of people. It's not just the CEO making this decision. So who's involved? And I know you have a number of roles in this document that defines some of these roles that are involved, but maybe list some of those for our listeners so they have a view of who you're talking about.
Sure. So I think one thing which still is very not clear in the industry is like, hey, who should be hiring for this role? But definitely, if you have security 2-3 layers down the org chain, then I don't think the security is basically being set for successful. So it's very crucial to hire security at the right level where they have a seat on the table. Second piece is, I think one of the biggest stakeholders for CISOs is the engineering teams. This is where you want to make sure that there is good alignment. In fact, I would say engineering and product, because the security function literally sits at crossroads between these two functions. Like, hey, product says we need to develop something. This is how we're going to deploy. Engineering actually goes ahead and develops it and deploys it. And you want to make sure that these three functions are in sync, especially if it's a product-led organization. One huge stakeholder, especially in the days of privacy, where each state is passing on privacy laws, GDPR, California Consumer Privacy Act, and other state and local laws, legal interaction is huge. And even in like sales enablement, most of the customers these days are asking for security addendums, specific security requirements, liabilities. And this is where you want to have a good interaction and coordination with the legal team. And that's why it's very crucial to have legal as one of the stakeholders in the interview process. HR and IT. So it's interesting in the sense that one, if you're trying to create a culture of security, and HR plays a huge role in that in terms of defining the employee sentiment and defining the processes, and also in terms of whole employee experience, be it onboarding or offboarding, or making sure that people are security doesn't feel like a burden. And HR is a huge stakeholder in that, where you can work very closely with them. So it's very crucial that they are part of the process. IT is one function where security has a lot of stake in terms of things like asset management, corporate IT security, and so on. So it's very crucial that they have a good working relationship and they get a chance to interview this person. And I think we talked about sales a little bit. Most of the companies, especially SaaS companies, which are offering selling to businesses, B2B companies, require a good element of scrutiny from potential customers. And this is where it's crucial that there is a repeatable and a scalable process for doing sales enablement from a security perspective. So this person should have either done some of that work or should have good ideas to scale that process. Otherwise, sometimes you learn it the hard way, where they don't teach you in school how to do that. And I mean, even I personally, I think in my first startup, I learned it the hard way and actually ended up writing an article about it to share with my own in the security community, so that people are like kind of aware that, hey, this is how you do it and you don't get bogged down by it.
Yeah, so a number of functions there. And I'm sure if we brainstorm some more, we could add a few more. We did a podcast not too long ago with Roland Cloutier, Global CISO for TikTok, and I think I mentioned this earlier to you. He mentioned, I don't know if functions or departments were the right word, I have to go back and listen to the podcast, but it was 19 functions, I'll say, within his group, 19 security functions that one could picture a line between application security within his realm that connects to engineering, right? Risk management that connects to risk management at the business level. So all these departments. So my question to you, Anshu, is clearly TikTok, huge global organization, many departments, a lot of functions within the company overall. I can see where hiring leads for multiple departments to connect with the rest of the business with director dotted lines makes a lot of sense. When you get to a smaller organization, though, maybe some people are wearing many hats. Maybe the functions don't formally exist. They just fall under another realm. Maybe there is no security, to your point, and it's just under IT or ops. So how do small organizations recognize that these functions, even if they're held by or managed by people wearing different hats, are important to take a role in the interview process? So even if it's one person doing three jobs, how do they say, all right, these three jobs, I need to ask questions along these three lines of this CISO?
Yeah, no, actually, that's a good question. So, and that's where I think the stage of the company and the size of the company matters, because as you rightly said, that in some cases, hey, you have an internal audit function, like a very well-defined, like for example, in banking companies, financial services, there's a very well-defined risk management function, which the CISO might or might not report to, and they become important stakeholders in the interview process. And then there's a scenario where maybe one person is doing these multiple functions. So I think it's not a one size fits all. The companies do have to adapt to identify more relevant stakeholders as per their needed. For example, like if the CISO role is more of an advisory CISO, where pretty much 100% of the time they're talking to customers and not really doing operational security, then maybe the marketing and the sales functions also need to be included. Like if you have a head of PR and so on. So I would say definitely based on the size of the company, the more stakeholders can be added. The only caveat would be, I have seen candidates say, hey, I got interviewed by 10 people. I had 10 interviews.
And can you overwhelm a candidate?
Yeah. So those are situations where ideally, if you can't hire someone in 5-6 interviews, then the rest of it is just a waste of time. And ideally, the panel should be have the most important stakeholders and asking the right questions, doing the enough prep, and even making sure that you're bringing the right candidates to the interview table. And I think this is where a lot of working with the recruitment team helps, which honestly a lot of people don't do, is training your recruiting team how to hire for security. Because they have hired engineers, they have hired business operations functions, but they have not rehired for security. So unless you hire an agency which hires security candidates or senior security executives, most of the recruitment teams are not well equipped to hire security professionals, even at mid-management or junior levels. So it becomes very crucial that identifying the right stakeholders, training your recruitment function to be able to hire for security, especially in this market where each candidate has multiple offers. So how do you attract, how do you make sure that they have a great candidate experience end-to-end, and you're able to make a decision based on interviews with the right stakeholders and the most important stakeholders?
Yeah, so I'm picturing the kickoff meeting that you mentioned earlier, where perhaps you can't have all the stakeholders, but you want them represented. So maybe the final panel of 5 or 6 people represent the greater stakeholder community. And do you see a situation where the questions are pulled together, discussed by the panel, and said, these are the top things we really need to focus on? It is operational and dealing with post-breach or very sales enablement oriented and compliance and risk focused. So these are the things we need to focus on. And that then boils down to the set of questions the panel works on. Or how do you see it working?
Yeah. So what typically, at least I have done, is that, so there's a reason we call them like suggested questions, because each person brings their own experience and their own flavor, what they're looking for in candidates. But it's always good to have a baseline, which is like, hey, these are the questions if you're evaluating multiple candidates, and even like discussing them in the kickoff call, that these are the, and that's why the suggested questions should not be like a huge number, maybe like maximum, I would say 5. So it gives them, the interviewers, time to ask their own questions and judge the candidate on their experience, background, and skill set.
Got it. Well, let's, as we're getting close to the end, we're not there yet. So let's take some time to look at some of the questions. I don't know if you want to pull a few out that maybe highlight the value of thinking through this from a functional perspective, a stakeholder perspective, highlighting where If this question is presented and answered properly, it will help achieve the objectives in that role, and maybe some examples that you've experienced personally or working with others where those questions have become handy.
Sure, absolutely. So I think one question, especially at the hiring manager level, which I think I ask when I hire senior leadership roles, is like on personal management philosophy. So as you grow in your career, if you have successfully been a people manager and a leader, then it's very important to have some management philosophy crystallized in your mind that, and defining your own why I'm doing this. And if I have a team, if I have a function to operate, how do I go about delivering that? So I think that's a very important question, which shows the maturity of a candidate. Like, what is their personal management philosophy? And each, and this kind of gives the candidate an opportunity to explain how they have gone about building teams, building functions, and making sure that there's enough collaboration from different stakeholders and so on. Second one, I would say the question around key risks to the business. So it demonstrates two things. One, has the candidate done enough background research on the company? Are they really serious about this role? Because if they are serious about the role and potentially a good fit, they would understand, and they're interviewing seriously for the role, they would understand that, hey, based on these businesses, this is what I think are potential key risks to your business. Many times, really mature candidates, they would actually even point out that, hey, I read your privacy policy. I think this is something you might want to look at. Overall, security, I believe, is a risk management function that at the end of the day, you are helping the companies do business securely while managing risk. So that risk angle too is very, very crucial in making sure that they're not operating tactically, which is, hey, you know, I have to deploy this tool and technology to for XYZ security control. But it's more about, I'm building a holistic function to manage risk for the company. So that's, I think, a good question. Next one, I think, is around security metrics. So, which is like, how do you measure something to be successful? And in my mind, if you have data-driven security where you can present the posture of a company based on key security metrics, and even just a thought process about around that. So one, you have very tactical security metrics. Hey, how many incidents I had, how many, you know, issue laptops are not patched and so on. But then there are business level metrics as well. So when a candidate starts going into that, how security is a business enabler and can show some trends that we did stuff which resulted in cost savings and business deals and time saved, in terms of more maturity of the product, we are seeing less security issues. Those are the kind of things, at least I'm looking for when I'm thinking about security metrics and data-driven security.
I'm going to pause you quickly, and then I'll let you go to your next question. Because another thing we often hear about the CISO role and security in general is that they become the department of no. It's like hiring person in legal that now gets to review all the contracts and holds everything up. So this is, we can't stand up the new business process or build that new product or onboard that new partner because there's risk. So I would imagine every function has that view that, okay, this role is going to come in and impact my life. Are there any questions related to that? And engineering comes to mind first and foremost, but I don't know, are there any other roles where that's top of mind for them, and how do they ask a question of a CISO that gets an answer that makes them comfortable?
Yeah. So one thing, at least like if engineering were to hire, the most expensive place to fix security issues is after the fact. And that's where a lot of friction comes that, hey, you're creating extra work for us. So one thing which I'm looking for, like if I was like an engineering person and I would look for a security person, is that how can you move security left in the sense that we catch issues early on? And what are the things we have done? What are the checkpoints you can establish to make sure that we do security, but it's less expensive, less time consuming to do security? Second piece is, which I think is still an issue and fairly underdeveloped area, is security education, which is you have to teach people to fish versus finding bugs and asking them to fix it. And this is where there's a lot of underinvestment, there's a lot of immaturity in terms of understanding that, hey, this is something that we need to assist upon. And I think I would stress upon that, hey, what have you done to make sure that our developers are well-trained to do security themselves? And an ideal word would be that where the CISO is an enabler for ongoing real-world security training, secure code training, platform language-specific training, domain-specific training to all the developers. So we are upskilling the whole engineering community to be able to do security themselves. And this is where, and even from a, when I do performance reviews, this is actually something I measure my own team, that what have you done to make other people successful? What is your own personal learning plan? And how have you made sure that people around you have been trained to do security themselves versus we going acting as an audit function where we are always just finding issues, which is like, hey, we want these people to do a better job at writing better code, which is secure and highly resilient.
Yeah, and for me, this is where the rubber really hits the road from my perspective. Yes, you can answer questions. Do you know how to manage privilege access and secure the cloud and things like that? But when you can get into how can you help us achieve our business objectives in a risk adverse fashion where security is part of the culture, questions that evolve around that and bring out answers that demonstrate that the candidate can achieve those things really seem to matter to me. And it seems like a lot of the questions you have are related to that. As we wrap here, Anshu, maybe one last final one, or the last hurrah question to close this out. Maybe an eye-opening one that many companies don't typically ask.
Actually, I think we talked about the why, and I think it's very, very crucial for people to understand what are people's motivations and asking candidates what's their why and what drives them at a personal level, at a professional level. I think that's a fairly underappreciated question because it kind of gives you an insight into the type of a person one is. And it could be asked, I would say, you know, at the hiring manager level or even at the HR level. This gives a very, very good insight into a person's mind, what drives them. In fact, and the second thing actually I also look for is that since security is like not a one-person job, a person has to build a team around them. So I usually stress upon is like, how do you go about building a team and what are the key traits you're looking for? So between those two questions, I would say you get covered a lot of ground in a person's the way they operate when they're building teams and hiring the right people. And this is actually, and again, like I get this question very, very infrequently. And typically, it's like, hey, how do you hire a team? But what about the key traits? Because security, especially in this world, like, you know, there's not enough security professionals who have been trained, but you can always train people who are coachable, people who have the drive and the hunger to learn. And this is what you're looking for both when you're hiring for your own CISO and even when this person is hiring in their own team, is the drive to learn, the drive to leave something which they inherited in a better place. Yeah, those would be, I would say, like two key things which are fairly unappreciated and don't get asked often.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, Anshu, it's been a pleasure. I have a gazillion more questions in my head, but we have to leave it here for now. I think I'll summarize with some of the main points you made, which is understanding why the candidate's doing what they're doing for both personal and for career objectives, and then how they can build a team to help them support that and the business. And then more importantly, how can they demonstrate in the answers to their questions how they can enable the business, not just for today, but as it grows. So maybe it is dealing with a breach or meeting some compliance, but beyond that, and working with the rest of the functional teams to actually reach the business objectives, not just secure an Active Directory service. So, clearly a role that's very complex, super critical, whether it's called CISO or not, security leadership, and as they become CISO role, managing multiple functions of security across the businesses is an important thing, and getting that hire right is paramount. So I appreciate you putting this list of questions together. Again, we'll share it with folks in the show notes. And I encourage everybody to maybe share their thoughts or experiences on this topic. And Anshu, again, thanks for having this conversation with me today.
Thank you, Sean. It's a pleasure.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
HITRUST is a leading data protection standards development and certification organization that strives to safeguard sensitive information and manage information risk for global organizations across all industries and throughout the third-party supply chain. Learn more at HITRUSTAlliance.net. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Redefining Security Podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.